Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome to Think Big. Guest today is Brandon Steiner. Brandon, please let us know where in the world you are geographically and what you do for a living.
I'm in Yonkers, Westchester. I also have an office in the city, and Starstock.com is my new trading card company, which has over 1 million trading cards. So for those of you trading card gurus out there that need a place to put your cards in our vault, trade, buy, help us get them graded. That's what we do. And then Collectible Exchange is the same thing. It's a marketplace where people can help, you know, sell their market collectibles, autograph stuff, all kinds of stuff like that. I think we have like 150,000 items, and we are thinking big. We're very much on the early stages of this concept, about 4 years in, and we now have a proof of concept. You know, to me, it's everything's really about coming up with ideas, but also seeing if things are working. You know, thinking big, but also getting into the little things to make sure that what you're thinking about is workable. You know, we're not dealing with reality here. We're not trying to be realistic. We're just trying to find something in the world that's not getting done, something that's needed, something that I could work on to make a difference in the industry that I'm in, which is kind of what I did in my old company, Steiner Sports. I'm not there anymore, but built that for 35 years and certainly had an impact on the collectible business. And now my goal is to do that again, is to figure out what's needed, figure out what difference I can make so people can enjoy, get closer to the game, enjoy their collectibles, figure out what to do with their collectibles, which is lots of people, especially older ones that are sitting with a lot of stuff and a lot of young ones with the trading cards, and really trying to help them sort through that and give them a really clean path. I always say, like, how do we get you on a collectible road with no red light, no stop signs, and no speed limit?
Yeah, I think that's really important, because I think a lot of folks that have like things like that, they don't even know where to start. Like, they don't know what it costs to get something graded. They don't know, like, is it going to be worth it? If it's something I have worth anything at all, is it even worth doing that? So to have a partner in you, to be able to work with somebody like you, so knowledgeable in that industry, is obviously, you know, something that is needed. Because, like, you know, I have binders and binders full of stuff, even at my house, baseball cards, Pokemon cards, all kind of stuff like that. And I don't even know where to start with it. I started trying to sort through it and find things, like, it seems like it might be worth something.
Well, you start off by coming to us with what you have, and then we kind of help evaluate, verify, authenticate, and tell you what it's worth, and then sort it out. And in some case, put it in our vault and put it in our inventory and just start helping you sell it. But let me go back to the thinking big concept. Yeah, you want to think big, you have to start small. And, you know, you're going backwards, you're going forward, looking backwards. You're starting off thinking with a big, big idea, but you're also looking for the small traction. Do you have some momentum? Does this work? Do you see a sign that this could maybe be a help? Don't thinking that you're just going to get up for your first time at bat and hit a home run. And when somebody doesn't mean that's what's going to happen every time. So I think, you know, for me, like, I completely disrupted everything I had done in the past and started thinking about, okay, what can I do that's different? What can I do that I haven't done? What can I do that can be the most help for our customers? And it wasn't easy, because I'm not a tech guy. So I've got to go recruit some young kids. You know, people complain about young kids. I mean, who's smarter than these young kids? Who can get shit done faster than these young kids? And I can give them the experience and some of the stuff that I know. And it's a good match in a reverse mentoring process. But on the other hand, you still got to get some traction. So when you got this big idea, look for some small traction. Not a bunch of business plans, not some big money raise. No, sample it, get nimble, see if it works. And this way, if it doesn't, all right, you tried, which is the most important thing, trying. So, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that they can work their way into a business that they have no idea even exists. You can work your way into something you have no idea it's even coming, which is what's happened to me several times. And I'm hoping it happens again this time. And so far, so good.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think it's really important for people to hear, especially younger entrepreneurs or maybe even seasoned entrepreneurs off on a brand new venture, right? Is, you know, you hear all you see all over the internet on your Instagram or your TikTok, just these massive success stories of people making millions overnight, you know, people getting famous overnight. It's like, it's all you see anymore. But, you know, in reality, like the real stories of success is what happens on the ground when you have your big picture, where you're focused on the present, getting that small traction like you're talking about. I think that's
who's getting on TikTok and going, I just dropped $6 million of other people's money. I screwed up. I thought I had this great idea. The thing was a complete flop, and I'm
exactly
a complete screw up. But you could say, hey, I came up with this idea. I tried it. It didn't work. So what I learned from that idea is to do this other thing, and now I'm starting to get traction on that. It's like you don't have to get up a bat and hit home runs. Just hit the ball hard, and it's okay to play small ball. But when you see MLB, everything's home runs, home runs, home runs. In the NBA, yep. Three-point shots, no more of the layup, no more of the little things. Like, but in business, that's not sports. The little things are important. Not true. The little things are everything. And the little start, the slow, smart start can win the race every time. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I've had a lot of success. I didn't rest on those laurels. I'm taking out the garbage. I'm packing boxes. I'm sampling. I'm talking to customers. I'm just trying to find out if what we're thinking about doing makes sense. It's humbling. Mm-hmm. It's a grind, but it's smart. And I always say hardworking and smart working is smartsmanship. You want to apply smartsmanship when you're an entrepreneur, which combines learning the craft, knowing everything about your business, leading, using leadership to talk to people, to see things that they may not see, but you see, but you're looking into the future, and also making sure you have the stomach and the heart for the risk. Because even if you don't waste a lot of money or raise a lot of money and use it, and you're nimble, you're still using a lot of your time, and that's a risk. Because in life, you only have so much time and you mm-hmm. want to use it correctly. So, you know, the big play is, you know, be nimble, be humble, have a little swagger, you know, a little confidence, a little arrogance. Yeah, but don't get ahead of yourself.
That's awesome. So, what from the standpoint of, you know, like looking for a problem that needs solving, right? What did you see when you started both of these brands that was wrong or was a big problem that wasn't being solved currently in, you know, the way that people are currently, you know, going about getting valuations for their collectibles or, you know, finding a place to, you know, have it vaulted and get it and work on getting it sold. Like, where did you see, like, the disconnect to, you know, come into this industry to try to solve a problem better?
Well, let me point the camera here, you know, and show you that, you know, this is a common what's going on in many people's houses. Like, what are you doing with all these thousands of cards you got at your house? I mean, yeah. You got to get them organized, send them to us, and now you can create a whole, almost like a stock account on ARC, and then we can help you evaluate, get some of these graded. So we saw a problem that people are sitting with tons of cards. They don't know what to do with them. They don't know what it's worth. And why? Why not trade them, trade up, get new ones, sell the old ones? Why wouldn't you? Back in my Steiner days, there was a tremendous amount of fake autographs. The problem was, how do I put together an authentic brand and prove to people that everything they're buying from us is real? When people think of Brandon Steiner, even with collectible exchange, they know what I'm doing and they know it's real, like the ground you're standing on. And that's everything. Trust with your brand, which I spend enormous amounts of time, even right now on this pod, making sure that people know that I'm here. I'm watching this ship. I'm guiding this ship. And I'm making sure. Because the difference between 100% and 99% real is 100% fake. Yep. There is no almost real. Everything we do has to be incredibly authentic. We can't make a mistake. We can't say, oh, that one got away from us. Oh, maybe no. Everything has to be authentic. Everything has to be real. So, you know, the trust in our business, the trust in my brand is where the real value is. And I think sometimes people don't realize that value is one of the most important things that has to get associated with your brand. And value is what you could do for someone that they can't do for themselves. So having an authentic and ability to put out collectibles that are 100% real and they know the authentication where it comes from is huge. Now, there's been some other companies along the way that now stepped up and done that, where back in the 90s, that wasn't the case. But it's important. So when you think about your brand, you think about your idea. Obviously, you got to think about manpower. You got to think about the quality of your product, the pricing of your product. These are all very important. And then the service. But what's even more important is what people feel about the character of your brand. What's behind that brand to support it? When you see now with the airline and the hotel business, it's very confusing. Everything's so price-driven, and it's really starting to water down a bunch of their brands because you get the feeling that they don't really care. Mm. They're just trying to lock up different parts. You're in a particular city, you got to use that hotel. You're in a particular, you got to go to a particular city, fly there, you got to fly that airline. And there's not a lot of sensitivity to the passenger. It's so important. It's so important to make sure that how people feel about your brand and how much they believe in your brand, because of the character of your brand. Not what people think, but who you really are and what you're going to stand behind and what you're going to stand when things are not going right and how you're going to act. Those are the things as an entrepreneur that you struggle with, because you got the idea, right? You're putting the idea in play. We got this big idea. but what's the character of your brand? What are you standing behind when shit goes wrong? Ah, that's another story. Can you adjust pricing? Is there flexibility in pricing? Do you have your costs under control so you're not killing your customer when things go a little astray? And you've seen some companies really go berserk during the virus and even recently with some inflation. Yep. They're off the walls. They're off the charts. So it's really important you're able to keep that consistency. I love the business. You know, I think it's great. I see so many young kids in the business collecting cards. I see so many women now getting into the collectible business where it used to be they were just buying stuff for their husbands and sons. Now girls are collecting. We have a whole line of women collectible products, which you see now women in sports getting more and more popular. I've been loving women's sports forever and a day, waiting for this day to finally happen where Sue Bird or a Mia Hamm or Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan are really now factors. People are worth investing in these women. I love it. The collective that we have on our website involving a whole bunch of women athletes is now coming full circle. It's not easy, you know, to get traction in this country. There's so many sports going on, so many things. So the women have done an amazing job with the quality of their game, and they have a tremendous commitment. It's worth investing in, and I'm into it. I'm into trying new things. You'll see some new stuff that I'm going to be getting into. I'm a little crazy, as you could tell already. So, you know, cricket,
soccer, rugby, I love your passion.
It's like, get out. Don't do what's easy. If somebody else is doing it, let them. Don't do what everyone else is doing. I have no interest. So what we're doing now is completely different. No one else is doing it because I felt there was a need to make the industry better to have what I'm doing. So I tell entrepreneurs out there, if you're doing something other people are doing, go find some lazy employees to just facilitate that because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Just doing what other people are doing is lazy. You're put on this earth to make a difference. And to me, you know, something I'm not interested in doing what everyone else is doing. I want to do something that's unique, that's different. It's hard. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. Yes. Trying to figure out if it's going to work. Yes. Do I stay up nights worrying about this shit? Yes. Do I wake up in the morning with anxiety? Yes. Because I don't know what I'm doing half the time because we're trying to get into uncharted waters. If you have the stomach for that, then you can go do something that's extraordinary and helpful. And then when you're gone one day, people are like, wow, that guy, wow, that woman. What she did was amazing. And that's what it's about, man. That's thinking big. That's thinking big. Thinking about making a difference. Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like to your point, I mean, your brand with your name obviously carries some weight in its own right. Now in the super like digital age, especially post-COVID, when everything was forced online and it's pretty much stuck that way in so many industries and so much growth has been happening in completely like 100% online stores. So, you know, how are you dealing with, you know, maintaining a reputation and, you know, showing that and, you know, eliciting a response that gets that, you know, through your online presence, as well as, you know, obviously, you know, people come into your store and, you know, they see you, they probably already know who you are just from your name. But how are you reflecting that, you know, in your online presence as well?
Well, first of all, I'm 65 years old. I'm posting three times a day. I'm doing live videos. I'm not caught up in my reputation. I got to earn my keep every day. I want to make sure that people know I care, that I'm still in it to win it. And I'm still there to make sure I get their trust and love by producing great product and making sure that we do everything we say. I'm not going to rest on my laurels. Oh, I did this. Oh, I sold $50 million of dirt. I did 30 million orders. No. Nobody cares. What I care about and how I earn my keep is showing up every day, trying to do really good work, trying to find really great products I know people want, and that keeps people excited. And that's I keep awesome. My level of communication as I'm doing even with you now, I keep it high. I don't assume that people know and feel anything other than, Brandon, what else is Brandon up to? What else is he doing? Because I'm going to share it. I'm going to communicate it. Not only the good, but the bad, the ugly. I'm going to talk about the industry. I'm going to talk about some of the problems in the card industry that exist so people don't get ripped off, even if it sometimes hurts a little bit of the image. The last thing I want is people to get ripped off. And there's a lot of bad stuff going on right now in the trading card business that I'm hoping to be able to go into with my new show on eBay Live. I'm going to be bringing guests on. I'm going to be breaking it down. So a lot of people jumped into this card business and they don't know better. And I want to help them. And I want to show them and explain to them how some things work and some pitfalls to stay away from. Because the card companies, they're there to sell as much cards as they can. See, I'm there to sell a lot of product, but not as much as I can if it comes at a cost where somebody's going to maybe lose money on the product they're buying or they're not really getting what they think. I'm not interested in that. So I think the transparency in the business and some of the collectible divisions that's going on in the country are not always clear. And you have trading cards that are being sold that people think they're going to go find a $1 million card when there's no chance of it. Or they're seeing cards that are selling for tens of thousands of dollars when it really never happened. Like, that's just bullshit. And that just, you can't have that. That's not how we're going to grow the business. It's just not going to happen. And that's what's kind of being promoted. So, you know, for me, like, I tell people, like, don't grow out of business, don't run out of money, and also don't become extinct in a dinosaur, regardless of your age. Keep posting, keep putting up content, keep explaining to people what you're doing and where your head's at. The fact that people can know where my head's at in a hobby or in a business that people are really interested in, I think it's a huge bonus and a blessing. I don't know why CEOs are hiding in their corner offices and hiring, you know, first and second year people to run their social and do all that stuff. When I want to talk to the CEO of Delta. I want to talk to the CEO of Ford Motors. I want to talk to executive VPs. Like, now, granted, my company is nowhere near as big as those, so I'm sure those people have a lot on their plate, but I think it would help. I mean,
people want to know what's going on behind those doors. They do. Yeah. I think that's why people end up going for brands like yours. So people are visible and transparent. And I mean, I do anywhere from 6 to 7 interviews and podcasts a day here. Right. And that is why I think one of the biggest things with, some of the greatest smaller companies are experiencing the most growth are some of the most transparent and the most putting themselves out there and just being honest and doing things like that. So it's really, really important. And I think you have a really great perspective
Just to answer your question, it's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing for 35 years. I've just, not all communication is equal, so I'm not going to keep doing it the same way. But back in the early 90s, this is what I was doing, except I had to run around from TV stations, radio stations to do it. But I did it, and I've been online just like this since it happened. I didn't wait. I've done my own podcast, 300 Pods. I try to be as transparent and as communicative as I can. I think it's part of the deal these days. It's part of the deal. Like,
it is.
If you're going to run a company, people want to know, and they want to know the details. And if you want to have any relationship, whether it be in business or personal, the whole thing's in the detail. It's the little stuff that people want to know about how you got from point A to B, or why this product, or why not that. Why not share it with people and explain it to people? I think that it's really, really important. And for me, I don't have to do anything different today, worrying about reputation, image, or anything. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing for almost 40 years now and still kicking.
That's fantastic. So I'm curious about, I think where people kind of get a little sketchy with doing things with, trading cards or memorabilia is I feel like it's kind of, it very much exists online. Transactions happen online, but I feel like it was at a time, one of the final frontiers of, doing transactions online just because of the nature of it. You don't want to ship something valuable. You don't want to have something go into somebody's hands or getting something graded. It could get damaged on the way. So do you operate, some of the things you do with the memorabilia store and the trading card store online at all, or is it pretty much all in person?
No, everything's online.
It's all online.
Yeah, it's online. Although we have a company here where you can set up an appointment to come and visit. My old company, same thing. And a lot of people do, and a lot of people have. I think it's great when people come up, visit us, see the operation. Mm-hmm. I could take them through the warehouses and show them. We have people to do that. But the business is online. What's great about the memorabilia and cards is that they show well. It's easy to go really get a good feel. But not all products are as easy to do that, which is why a lot of companies have showrooms. They're in malls. They're in major cities and major traffic areas. We don't have to do that. Our stuff really shows online. The difficulty also in our business is that everything's changing so rapidly. A couple games, a couple clicks, a pick, a home run, boom, everything's changed. So you could do it that much faster online, where it's a lot more difficult when you're coming and going from a retail storefront. So our business is perfect for online. It scared the hell out of me. And I was the first one to do a collectible website.
Yeah.
And I was nervous about doing it, but I didn't hesitate. I did it. It scared me, but I did it right away. So we were the first ones to do sports auctions. We were the first ones to put a collectible website up. We had no idea what we were doing, but we did it because we knew that's where the business is going. That's exactly what I'm doing now. I have no idea about the business that's in front of me that I'm creating. I have no idea what I'm going to walk into. I'm praying that it's going to be something special, because the early indicators, and this is a very important point for any entrepreneur out there listening, is that you must follow the early indicators. And the early indicators say is what we're doing is working when people want it. Now it's up to me to execute that, make it simple for the customer to be able to play in this game so they can help themselves. And I've got to be able to do it on a larger scale. And that's what I'm in the middle of doing. But early indications of your business is what you should be looking at. Not forecasts, not drafts, not big meetings, not I'm raising all this money. No, look for early indicators that what you're thinking about, what you're doing works. You can call that product research. You can call that product development, sampling, whatever it is. But it's there. Look for early indications of whether what you're thinking and what you're doing can work. and build off of that, build off of that faith, build off of that confidence and that kind of, you know, that kind of runway. And then who knows how long that runway is, but the early indicators are as important as anything, more important than a business plan and a forecast, more important than a story. Look for early indications that what you're thinking about doing, especially if you're an entrepreneur and no one else is doing it, early indications say, hey, maybe you're on something because it's never been done before, right?
So can you give me an example of, you know, some things that you consider early indicators of success for you specifically that you've noticed?
I mean, so many things we're doing now and so many things have actually not worked. I mean, I'm feeling great about some of the things that work, but there's a whole bunch of shit that we've tried that like, oh boy, that's not gonna work.
Yeah. I love to hear that too, because that's actually it's one of the most useful things I think is to hear from, you know, business owners that have gone through the trials and tribulations of things that haven't worked as well. Because the things that work for one person aren't always gonna work. But you know, maybe hearing something that didn't work, it might be an error of caution too.
But here's a roller coaster ride. Like we go to 200 athletes and ask them to say, look, we've got this marketplace. We're going to give you an opportunity to sell your stuff, your game used bat, your cleats, your sneakers directly to consumer. 200. We get, I think, about 45 athletes say yes. We get 150 no's. And the bigger names, most of them said no, with a few exceptions. So right now we have about 45 or 50 athletes who can buy their stuff direct. So it was an early indication that it worked, but we had to tweak it for the bigger name players. So you got to actually pivot and come up with a better idea for the bigger name players, for them to give you, you know, the Michael Jordans, LeBrons, you know, whatever it is, for them to actually give you their game use stuff. Early indication is we realize, you know, people are coming with so many trading cards, they don't know what to do with them. They're not even sticking around for us to explain to them what it's worth. It's like, I just had to get this out of my house. My wife is killing me. So we had an early indicator knowing there's a ton of people out there with so many cards, even the ones that people have bought recently. They can't have the cards all over the house. They need the vault to keep them in, and they need somebody to help them evaluate, get the cards graded, and figure out what to do with the cards. So it's an early indicator knowing we're on something. Then I go, I buy StarStock.com, which had over a million trading cards. So that gave me the ability, once I saw those early indicators, I bought a real website, a real marketplace, and a real vault. Then now as people keep bringing me the cards, I got a place to put it. And I also picked up some card gurus that know what they're doing with the cards so they can help our customers with the cards. Because as much as I'm a card collector, I wasn't a card guru.
Right.
To be able to sit down and really evaluate all of your cards. So we responded. We saw an early indicator. This really works. And I did something about it. And now we're in the card game. And now we're partnering up with eBay. And we're going to have all our cards not only on StarStock.com, but the same cards will be imaged on eBay.com, which is one of the biggest card seller in the world.
No doubt. Yeah.
So, you know, you're just looking for these early indicators to say what could work, what can't work. You know, we went to a bunch of teams that wanted to go back because I started that business, Alabama, Notre Dame, Yankees, most people know me from the Yankees. And we went to a bunch of teams to see if they want to do the game used. Early indicators say, you know something, if we were into that business, they want to do it themselves. The early indicators say they just really don't want to job that business out. And a lot of teams just don't want to do it because it messes with the players get pissed. So early indicators say, Brandon, you know, that even though I thought I could go jump in, I'm the guru of starting the sports, you know, the sports collectible business with sports teams, the Yankees and Notre Dame, the Cubs, Red Sox being the most famous. And I really built my brand a lot with those teams. Now the early indicators say when I went back to it to go redo that, didn't work out so well. So I pivoted. I'm starting to look at properties, teams, leagues that's never been done before. No one's collecting them. Secondary sports, car racing, NASCAR, rugby, cricket. Nobody's thinking about that, but people are loving those sports and they're growing. Women in sports. Those untouched, you know, they're not the big five, NFL, NBA, but giving that a try. I'm not jumping into the deepest end of the pool. Why? Trying it. And I'm looking for early indicators. So I'm going to go play around with that. And a year from now, we'll get back on this call. We'll see how that went.
Yeah, it's usually one of my big questions. That's one of my biggest questions usually is, you know, if we spoke a year from today, you know, where do you see the business? Like, you know, what things do you foresee and things like that? It's funny you said that, but I'm also curious, like, you know, as far as indicators go with things you've tried, you know, you think about, you know, you talked a lot about, you know, how you kind of, you'll have these relationships with teams and with people who have memorabilia that bring it in and want to vault it. And then like, you know, you help them sell it and things. As far as like advertising to, you know, straight up buyers that want to cut, this is like consumers that want to come on the site, you know, they're interested in getting something as a gift or for whatever reason they want to buy. Are you running any kind of like advertisements or, you know, have you done any kind of like campaigns like that for either one of the brands?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of stuff online, a lot of SEO stuff. You know, a lot of Facebook ads. I'm a big fan of Facebook, not only because my son works there, but it works when you can target
That always helps.
You can target, you know, if you go on my Facebook, you go on my social, you'll see, you know, we do a tremendous amount of content. I think my next date, so I've done a lot of that, not that much advertising outside of being online. My next stage is to be storytelling. You know, I've hired somebody to be able to do some videos and storytell case studies of success. This person comes in, they've got 10,000 cards. They don't know what the hell they're doing. Unfortunately, somebody passed away in their family. We took all those cards and all of a sudden they made $200,000 because there were some gems in there. And we organized it for them and they walked away. There are people coming in with boatloads of collectibles. Their husband did it all. The wife was just sitting back. They had no idea what the husband was doing. And all of a sudden, $500,000 worth of collectibles. So, and some of those collections are that big, some of that small. But unfortunately, the baby boomers were the biggest generation for saving everything. I mean, we save everything. I mean, we grew up with that. Our parents were, you know, in the Great Depression. We don't throw anything out. Eat everything on your plate. The whole thing. So, you know, unfortunately, baby boomers now, the heart of the baby boomer generation, they're 70. There are more people living over the age of 65 right now than if you combine all the people that lived over 65, it doesn't beat the amount of over 65 right now. That's how big the baby boomer generation is.
You're saying so all time, the people alive over 65 now is more than anybody that's ever been over 65 ever in history.
Combined.
That's crazy.
So you have to understand that the amount of people that are going to be dying is going to be the highest amount of people that are going to be dying in the next 50 years. Because the baby boomer generation is now in their 70s. Mm-hmm. And the average age for most baby boomers is between 80 and 83. So if you really thought about it, if you didn't know what you were doing, you're an entrepreneur out there, you probably think about what you could do with people about to die or people that did die. And you see senior living boosting up, cemeteries and funeral parlors are booming and boosting up. Because the biggest generation of our entire history of America, at the very least, is about to go away. And transfer of wealth is about to happen. Transfer of these collectibles and cards is about to happen. I mean, there's a lot of change. If you are somebody who's about 30 years old and have reasonably wealthy parents or whatever, or have parents have someone, you're in great shape. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you another thing that's really interesting about entrepreneurship with the numbers. There's the highest number of entrepreneurs in this country. Most people think it's with young kids. But any smart kid knows, don't start a business right away. Go get some experience with some people that know what they're doing and learn how businesses run. But the highest level of entrepreneurism is 55 to 65. Why? Because you were 55 or 60 back when I was a kid. You were getting ready to die at 65. More than likely, you know, the average age was between 65 and 70.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're 55, 60, you realize you're probably going to live another 20 years. You've been doing your job for 20, 25, 30 years. You've had enough of it. You want to do something different. But you've got the experience. You've saved some money. Why not start something on your own? And that's what we're seeing really pop. What scares me, though, in entrepreneurism, and this is a stat that's a little old. It's 2 years old. But there are more businesses, small businesses, closing than opening. And one of the reasons is it's the Amazons, it's the Walmarts, you know, it's Main Street has become Plain Street. And it's very scary to me that more businesses are closing than opening. And we got to support small businesses, support entrepreneurship, because we're going to end up with one website or two or three choices. And I think one of the big things about being wealthy and having a great country like this is choices. Is going to look at 50 different kinds of shoes and looking at the small guy or the small purveyor who she's made these unbelievable pocketbooks and come up with these unbelievable ideas for blankets and sheets. And we're losing those people. We're losing them fast. And it scares me. You know, it's why I talk so much about entrepreneurism is when you call me and anybody calls me and wants to talk about entrepreneurism, I want to talk about it because I want to promote it. I want to see more and more young kids into it. And I see it. I see, you know, I was a young kid. Like I was a weird kid, like that kid. Now you see kids at 14, 15, 16 selling businesses, like running businesses from their basement. I love it.
I wish
that education would adopt to it and we were able to teach more entrepreneurism in grade school, high school, and not just wait to college. And then the other thing is there's still not a lot of great entrepreneurs teaching it. You know, you have a lot of entrepreneur professors that have never done anything entrepreneurial. That's kind of bums me out too. So I'm hoping that entrepreneurs out there get into the classrooms and share the experiences because there's a lot of different angles to entrepreneurism.
Yeah, I was lucky enough in the college that I went to in upstate New York. They had two different adjunct professors. SUNY New Paltz, upstate New York.
Love it. Okay.
Yep. So we had two adjunct professors there. Both of them just had a GED, but after they were done with high school, they just went on after 5-10 years, they just went and started their own business. One guy had a chain of like convenience stores, like gas station little stores that he had done for the past like 10, 15 years. And he talked all about how he went from that to doing, now he's doing online business. And, you know, the first time I heard it, I was like, professor, like, he was most professor that, like, you know, doctor. And it's like, that was like the best experience, because he has so much energy and like so much insight into things in like a very like applicable way, which like that got me really excited to like get out here and like, you know, start in the sales enablement marketing world and kind of be like an entrepreneur as well. So I know it's definitely out there, but it's definitely not as common as it should be, I think, to have like adjuncts in schools, even high schools, you know, just give some insight into like, you know, what's really possible for somebody. So that, you know, I have all these kids out here thinking, you know, like you need 9 degrees to do anything worthwhile. You know, it's not always necessary. It's just to get some real applicable, real world experience from folks. It was really valuable to me.
It's helpful. Like, I was just in Australia. I went into a train station and I see a dry cleaning. So you can actually go when you get on the train, drop off your dry cleaning and your laundry. And then when you go up the train, you can pick it up. Like, I've never seen that here.
That's crazy.
There's so many ways to make money.
Yeah.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you
services like that now, that's like the biggest thing. Yeah.
So I want to tell you a quick story. And this kind of gives you, you know, do you know how many, when you go to a car rental agency, right? You go to a car, like Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They're the largest rent-a-car agency in the world. They're bigger than Avis, Hertz, Budget, all combined. Guess how many cars they actually rent out to people when they go on a trip or they're traveling, business. Guess the percentage of those cars that they rent out are to those people.
Guess on the frame of the question, I'm going to guess 30.
Okay. That's a very low guess. Most people don't guess that low, but you'll see where I'm going with this in a second.
Yeah.
Jack Taylor was the founder of Enterprise Rent-A-Car. He used to be in the Navy. He was on the ship, the Enterprise. He leaves Enterprise and goes to work for a Cadillac dealership. For all those young ones out there listening, Cadillac was a big deal for a long time when I was a kid. You had a Caddy? Yeah, a Caddy. You were. So, you know, he's working at this Cadillac dealership, and he sees a bunch of people that need a car because their car wrecked in a car crash. It broke down. Something happened. So he goes to the Cadillac dealer owner and says, can I get a couple cars and rent them out to people that need a car for, you know, their cars are being taken care of in the shop. No problem. He gets four cars, turns 8, 16, 32, blah, blah, blah. Now, he's the largest rent-a-car agency in the world by far, because he didn't look at the business the same way everybody did. He opened up a car rental place that was a replacement car. Anybody out there knows, you go to a collision shop, Enterprise. You call your insurance company, go to Enterprise, right? You get into an accident, Enterprise. 15% of his cars at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, 15% go to people that are on vacations, business travelers, and those kind of people.
That's crazy that they only market it as that too, it seems, even though it's like a very minority of their business. I wonder why that is.
He took a very common business, which a lot of you are out there, you don't have to be come up with some crazy idea. Matter of fact, it's the most important thing is not to invent an idea, it's to improve an idea. Most inventors don't even make a lot of money. It's the ones that take a good idea and improve it. He took what was a pretty ordinary business, the rent-a-car business, and turned it into something completely different. He had his head on a swivel. He was willing to take the risk. He was able to see there was some traction. You know, he saw a slight proof of concept and then ran with it. 4 cars, 8 cars. Wow, these people, they get into problems, collisions, need work on their car. They're going to need a car. I'm going to come up with a company that gives them that. And I'm going to strategically place these rent-a-car agencies all over the place so that when people have problems with their car, they can go to Enterprise and get a car. Boom. For those of you that are in the insurance business, your accounting business, whatever business you're in, there's always another way to put your head on a swivel, to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it smarter. If you look at the business, know your business, and actually look for some points where maybe there's some traction, maybe there's another way to do it. A lot of people came to me and said, Brandon, do Steiner 2.0. Steiner was great. No. They're doing that. Let somebody else do that. They're already doing that. I'm going to come up with something completely different. I'm Jack Taylor. I know what I'm doing, as I'm sure Jack did, having worked for a Cadillac dealership. I know what I'm doing. I understand the business. Now it's my job to go figure out what people need, how to make a difference, and how to take the industry that I'm in and make it better, bigger, different. So if you're out there and you're listening, you know, be Jack Taylor. Start thinking about your business differently. You don't have to come up with some crazy concoction idea. Take the knowledge you have, the business experience you have, and start looking for the white space.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Let's say nowadays, I mean, you know, all the real legacy, like you say, like, you know, Making it original inventions better. I mean, all the legacy, like really good inventions, are gone, right? That's even a lot of like optimization, I say, in the last 20 years has been like the main industry, whether it's technological optimization through like computers and things like that. Also, just in general, just optimization and higher efficiency of things that already exist. So, to your
I
point,
think there's
exactly.
more entrepreneurism coming than ever before since the beginning of time. We got to get us old people out of the way. That's number one. We're still watching the 11 o'clock news and we're still buying newspapers and stupid stuff like that. As soon as we get us out of the way, I mean, I can't even imagine, because now you have these young kids that aren't thriving on, wow, look, I have an iPhone. Who gives a shit? What are you going to do with that iPhone? And how do you make that iPhone better? And how do you create apps that fit into that iPhone that make sense? And I think the kids now that I see that are teenagers, it's no big deal to have this phone, no big deal to have a computer, no big deal to text. So they now are looking to improve it. It's not a big deal to learn how those things work. It took me 3 years to learn how to work my VCR, 4 years to learn how to work my answering machine. You know what I mean? Like, so, when you look at things in perspective, these kids are moving right along. And I think the next 10, 15 years, the amount of opportunity, because we're going to be doing things so much differently and people are going to be open to doing differently. There's a whole new way of doing a ton of things. And I only wish I was 20 years old now, knowing what I mean, I'd have a field day. I wouldn't know what to do with myself, because there's so many new things that have been invented that need improving. So don't be an inventor all the time, be an improver. And I think that your first idea is never your best idea. So take an idea that you've come up with and don't settle for just a little luck and success. Build up on that one idea. I always tell, like, Mariano Rivera wasn't looking to throw a curveball. He was had a cutter, it worked. He kept working on it, making
Oh, it
better and
sure
better and
did.
better.
It sure
Simple.
did.
They're not sitting in the Apple conference room trying to come up with sneakers and all kinds of different ideas. They're just figuring out how to make this damn one phone better. When you think about the biggest companies like Starbucks, they could be doing a million and one things. It's trying to figure out how to make the damn coffee better. The companies that have done extremely well, they figure out how to do one thing and do it incredibly well, and they don't stop. Think about your one idea. Make sense? You're thinking. I got you thinking.
I am thinking.
I like it. Hey, listen, that's what it's all about. Once you're thinking and you're not willing to settle for your thoughts you had 5 minutes ago, but you're like, wait a minute, exactly. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Is to not, it doesn't matter where you're at. What matters is what you want to settle for. And if you're willing to settle for your thoughts you had yesterday and continue the same thoughts tomorrow and the day after, you're in a losing, you got a losing hand. So if you're only willing to keep growing and you have a rate of growth and you're working, we're going to work off of even a small principle, we have a little success, you're on the right track.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic advice. I think anybody who watches this conversation, I think, is going to get an incredible amount of value. So I just want to thank you
You're
for coming
welcome.
on with me today, Brandon. I just want to say, wish you the best of luck in your new ventures. It sounds like you got your head in the right place. I mean, I hope your indicators are right. I hope this thing blasts off even more than you can imagine. And just keep being yourself. I really appreciate your time today. I wish you
Look for
nothing but
the
the best.
early indicators. It's okay. You have an early indicator that's working. Bam. By the way, I've written 3 books. Go to collectibleexchange.com, get any one of the 3 for free. My pleasure. I think you get a lot out of them, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a salesperson. And I'm in the middle of writing my 4th. This is a no-brainer,
Awesome.
this book. This is my middle book that did the best. You
Oh,
gotta
love
have
that.
balls. This is my mother's favorite line. You gotta have balls.
Nah.
And everything I learned from my mom was all about you got to have balls. She's always pushing. You'll love this book, especially if you're a mom or you're a young entrepreneur. This gives you all the keys. But any one of the 3 books, if you're a young entrepreneur, the business playbook's great. But thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm a big LinkedIn guy, by the way. So come on, follow me on LinkedIn, message me or Facebook. I put a lot of content up. Thanks for having me. Think big.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon. I'll be in touch.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Brandon.